Blog Talk Radio.
thank God for another day that he's allowed us to see. I don't know about you, but I'm happy, glad about it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen, amen. We just left a beautiful conference with Dr. Burford on this morning and had a young lady there that spoke on faith. And I mean, it was just so encouraging and so uplifting. I was running a little bit late to get home and get set up with this computer. But you know, God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. Oh, and I just bless him today for all that he's doing in our lives. Amen. But truly, there's nothing, there's no situation, there's no challenges, there's no struggles, there's no difficulty, there's no disappointment, there's nothing, nothing that you're going through on today that you cannot overcome. Remember, we are already overcomers. We are already overcomers in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is keep our hand in the hand of the Master. And I tell you, if you keep your hand in the Master, he'll hold on to you just as strong as you hold on to him. He won't let you go. We let go of that hand, but God's hand will never let go of us. Amen? Amen. So we thank you once again for tuning in and listening to New Destiny Ministries, a time of reflection. I tell you, this week I've gotten into something that just wasn't something that I felt real comfortable with. But you know, many times when the Lord is dealing with you, it's not going to always be something that you're comfortable with. But you have to have the confidence and you have to know that if God took you to it, he'll take you through it. Amen. So, you know, I don't have the spirit of Jonah when God told him to go down to Nineveh. He didn't want to go higher. But the Lord, how many know that the Lord already has something prepared for those that disobey? For those that disobey, he's already got something prepared for you. And it won't be anything pretty. Please believe that. So you want to be on the Lord's side, then we have to do things that are pleasing in God's eye. We have to be obedient. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So you may have $1 million, but if you disobey God, your million don't mean anything to the Lord. Amen. So as we came off of the past 2 weeks talking about the benefits, the rewards, hallelujah, all of the wonderful things that's in the benefit package when you fast and pray. We dealt with that for about 2 weeks, amen, and then I said, Lord, now where do we go from here? We have embarked upon a 21-day fast, and we need a word from the Lord. We need to be encouraged. We need to know that we can go further than this 21-day fast. How many need God to perform some miracles in their life? How many need to see some instant turnaround? I mean 24-hour turnaround. Hallelujah. Well, we serve a God that can do that. We serve a God that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. Amen? I know I have some witness out there today. But I tell you, as I begin to seek the Lord and I try to seek God for what he wants, for whom he wants to deliver a right now word to. Amen. Now, we're all going through something, and I don't believe there's nobody out here living in this world that's not going through anything. The rich folks, they're going through something. The poor are going through something. The middle class are going through something. All of us that's living in this world is going through something. But please know that the people of God, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Hallelujah. We have a comforter. We have someone that will come to our aid. Amen, amen. So we're going to be our destiny focus for this week. We're talking about the Acts of the Apostles. I said, look, the Acts of the Apostles. And as I began to just break that down and I looked at the, I just broke it down where I got an had to come together and see what God was saying for as an acronym, A-C-T-S. And he said, tell them to accept Christ today, Selah. That settles it. This is the day. This is the day. You have to accept Christ today. Today is settled. Because remember, people of God, tomorrow is not promised to us. Even the next hour is not promised to us because we don't know what may happen. We might fall out with a heart attack. We might have a stroke. We may go into diabetic coma. Our blood pressure may. We don't know what's going to happen from 1 hour to the next. Only the God that we serve has the answers. He knows our end from the very beginning. Amen. So I see, I don't know if this is Elder Wenzel or Elder Gates on the line with us, but whomever at the 405 area code, we're going to ask them to open up. I know it's a man of God, I know that, with the word of prayer for us on today, and we're going to get on into what God is speaking to us on this afternoon. Amen. So I'm going to go right now and greet the man of God. Praise the Lord, man of God. Elder Wenzel,
God bless you,
Elder
woman of God.
Gates. Who am I speaking with?
This is Elder Gates.
Praise the Lord, Elder Gates. How are you today?
The Lord is kind. How about you?
Amen. I'm doing wonderful. And I tell you, God always sent help. So glad to see you on the line with us today. Maybe you can help us along today as the Lord leads us. Can you
Amen.
Be so kind and open up with a word of prayer for us on today?
I most certainly will. Now, our Father and our God, we do bless you and we do praise you. We magnify you because, Lord, you have been good to us and you are good. Thank you, God. We thank you for your mercy and for, God, all of your loving kindness. We thank you for your many manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you, God, for this morning's rise. We thank you, God, for last night's rest. But, God, we thank you for what you're about to do right now. Thank you, because, Lord, we can trust you for what you're going to do right now because, God, your track record with us is good. Thank you. Mm. Because, Lord, we can understand, God, that when we look back over our life, we can say that we have been blessed. God, we can say, God, that you've been our protector. We can say that you've been our healer. We can say that you've been, God, our provider. We can say that you've been our Savior, our God, our Lord, our King. And, God, we bless you. And, Father, we pray, God, as we go, as we embark upon your word, we pray, Lord, for a spirit of excellence. We pray, God, for the spirit of revelation. We pray for a spirit of understanding, knowledge, and wisdom according to your word. We pray, God, that there's a shifting, yes, Lord, in the atmosphere. We pray, God, hallelujah, God, that the Christ of God, when he is preached, God, somebody that is listening, yes, Lord, would have faith arise in their hearts. Somebody somewhere that is listening, God, I thank you, hallelujah, that is struggling, God, between this and that, God, that you would give them answers and peace and joy and restoration. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that the Spirit of God would begin to take free course. And even as it was in the book of Acts, God, let the Spirit of God rush like a mighty wind in the name of Jesus. Let it rush like a mighty wind and breathe upon your people. God, send a fresh wind. Send fresh rain, fresh fire in the name of Jesus. And God, calls us as your people, God, to be revived, rebirthed in the name of Jesus. God, and we will forever give your name praise, glory, and honor because, God, you are just worthy. Because, God, you are beautiful, altogether wonderful. And, God, we give you glory, praise, and majesty both now and forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Elder Gates. We appreciate that so very, very much. Amen. I felt that all the way here in California. Hallelujah. God's spirit is alive. God's spirit is alive, and it is well. I tell you, we're going to just do a brief recap, and we have been talking about the Acts of the Apostles. Now, we can't begin to really fully understand the Acts of the Apostle if we go to the very last chapter. No, we have to start at the beginning. So as I began to converse with the Lord, I said, now, Lord, this is 28 chapters. We may be on this until your return. And he said, if so, so be it. Amen. So we went to the first chapter in the book of Acts, and we all know Jesus had been resurrected and he had ascended up on high. But before he ascended, he gave them some very clear instructions. Amen. And for one, he did tell them in the fifth verse of that first chapter, he began to tell his disciples. He said, now John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then as we went on a little bit further down, verse 8 began to tell us that Jesus told him, saying, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Now, people of God, we have to be very, very clear. We have to understand that we can't live a holy life without power. We cannot do it. I don't care. So many people are trying to live without this dunamis, this exousia power, but they cannot do it. Yes, we know we can live and have some good morals. We cannot smoke. We cannot run around. We cannot whoremonger. We can do some of those things naturally on our own, accord. I'll say that. But when you begin to seek the Lord, when you begin to want to have a fresh encounter with God, you're going to need some power. And especially so if you said you have been chosen, if you have been called, if you have been set aside to do a work for the Lord, then you're going to have an anointing. You're going to have some power, because these demons that we're dealing with today, without power, guess what? They're not going anywhere. We talked about fasting and prayer, and we said that these kind, Jesus told his disciples, after they weren't able to command the dumb spirit to come, that lunatic spirit to come out the young boy. Hallelujah. Jesus said, this kind, come out by fasting and prayer. Well, if that kind come out by fasting and prayer, what do you think it's going to take for these other kinds to come out? It's going to take a consecrated life. It's going to take, hallelujah, it's going to take some dunamis power, some power from on high. So we talked about that. And then we went on and we began to talk about those that were in the upper room. Hallelujah. They don't have all the names in the Bible about that. Every name is not there about the 120. But we can look at the record and chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, as I told you all Monday and Tuesday, now I don't want to offend anybody. Hallelujah. But if I do, God has my back and he is my employer. Amen. I'm not talking about, we're not, when Jesus was in this book of Acts, or when we begin to look at the book of Acts, we're looking at those that walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. And Paul didn't walk with him, but he said, I saw him last. Hallelujah. He wasn't there when Jesus chose the 12. Hallelujah. But I said this week, and I'm going to reiterate it again. It's not my duty, and it's not my desire to really offend anybody. My duty is to preach this gospel. Hey, and I know it's not a popular gospel. When you're talking about the book of Acts, when you begin to talk about the Acts of the Apostle, it's not popular. No, it's not popular. Because guess what? There were 12 that walked with Jesus. Jesus chose them. He personally chose them. These that's walking in the earth, the modern apostles today, I don't know if Jesus has chosen you. But I tell you what, my Bible has me a record of those that was in the 12 disciples that was in the upper room. In verse 13, name them. They give names of those disciples. Now, when Judas betrayed Christ, when Judas betrayed Jesus, let me say Jesus, not Christ, when Judas betrayed Jesus, then that left, as I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit, that left a vacancy in that office. So the disciples needed to fill that vacant slot. So they cast lots, and as we move on over, they cast lots, and we all know that the lot fell on Matthias, and so Matthias was chosen to replace that one that was the son of perdition, the one that sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. How many of us are selling God out? Huh? How many of us are selling out our brothers and sisters, not for 30 pieces, but we are selling out for one piece? But I'm here to tell you, I'm employed by God. Amen. And when God employs you, you don't have nothing to worry about. Hey, you don't have to worry about something being downsized. You don't have to worry about having to be relocated. God takes care of his own. So as we begin to look at this, we went on over into the second chapter. And when we go into that second chapter, we look at how they were all together on one accord, how they had everything in common. Then, you know, the Bible says suddenly there came a sound from heaven. They say, as of. Now listen at this, as of. As of don't mean it actually was. As of means it had the appearance, it had the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And they say the tongues, cloven tongues appeared upon them. What is a cloven? Cloven means something that sticks to you. It's just like glue. You know when sometimes you use these hot glue guns, and if they get on your skin, oh my God, it sticks to you. And that's what those cloven tongues did. It fell upon them and it just stuck. Hallelujah. And the Bible saying it was as a fire, and it set up on each and every one of them. And then they begin all of the different cities and the different areas of different ones that came, they begin to speak in a different language that wasn't their own. Hey, and some was mocking them, and some was saying it was full of new wines. But we know that Peter rose up, and Peter began to preach, and Peter began to tell them, they're not drunken, as y'all think they are. This is only the third hour. But he began to expound and tell them, but this is that what the prophet Joel spoke about in Joel 2:28. The prophet Joel began to talk about, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the Bible saying your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. But listen to this, people of God. We walking around, you know, and everybody is a prophet. Everybody is a prophetess. But my Bible tells me that Jesus said in the last day he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So that means my one-year-old great-grandson, he can prophesy. God can put a word in the baby mouth and cause him to prophesy. That don't say he is a prophet. So let's be clear. Just because you might prophesy and God may give you an option to tell somebody, thus and thus said the Lord, that doesn't qualify you, and that does not say that you are actually a prophet. You are actually a prophetess.
No, baby. It's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some communication. It's going to take some prayer. Hallelujah. It's going to take a fresh God encounter to get that kind of anointing on your life. See, you don't get something for nothing in the world. So how do we think we're going to come over in this world, how we think we're going to come over into the land of the promise and get something for nothing? Hallelujah. If we go to Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 28, those first 14 verses tell us, if you do thus and thus, if you do thus and thus. But guess what? Everything has a price, baby. There's no freebies in the world, and there's no freebies in this kingdom. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added. So that lets you know there are some prerequisites. You can't just come in this thing and think you're going on top and you're going to be elevated. God is the one that gives promotions. God is the one that gives elevation. Hallelujah. He said, if you're faithful over a few, he said, I'll make you ruler over many. We won't even be faithful for the five folks God give us. We got five folks in a 300-seat stadium. Hallelujah. But we ain't even faithful to those five. That's why the Lord don't add nobody else to the church. But as we went on in chapter 2, then we got on down. Hey, glory to God. We got on down to Acts 2:38, and that's the most significant. That's the most, Acts 38 and 39, that's the most significant scripture in the book of Acts. Because guess what? It tells us what's going to qualify us. It tells us what we should do to gain a place in the kingdom, to gain eternal life, to secure our salvation, to secure our relationship with Christ. It says now, you know, we want to just walk up and, you know, confess with our mouth, and that's it. Okay, but confession and repentance is two different things, and we talked about that. Go back on the archives, and you can hear it later on. But we're just recapping a little bit for those that wasn't with us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Now today it is Thursday. Amen. So we looked at that, and let's go just for a moment to verse 36, and let's read and start right there. And then we're just going to hit that, and we're going to move on because we're in chapter 3 now. We got to talk about Peter a little bit more. Amen. But 36 in the second chapter of Acts, it said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So God has made Jesus, the Jesus that we crucified, the Jesus that we spit on, the Jesus that we whipped with many stripes, the Jesus that we hung a crown of thorns on his head, that Jesus, whom we have crucified, both the Lord and Christ. And listen at what they did. Now when they heard this, they were pricked. Now let me tell you, people, Peter just was not talking to the 120. Mind you, there was a crowd outside the upper room. And the Bible said it was 3,000 of them, because that's how many God added to the church. So he just wasn't talking to the 120. But anyway, it went a little bit further and said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, see, when you want to get saved, you'll do whatever you're instructed to do. Hallelujah. Obedience, I said earlier, is better than sacrifice. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're asking the apostles, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, us, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall, what that shall word mean? Shall, it's a done deal. You don't have to think about it. It's inevitable. It's going to take place. It will happen. Amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is that gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, we already talked about how they came from different countries, and I said, you know, this is California. We have all kind of states here. And Jerusalem was the capital. And then they had all kind of cities that these people came from. Hallelujah. Because they had heard about Jesus. So they didn't have the privilege to go in the upper room, but they saw when they came out. They saw the illumination. They saw how illuminated it was. They saw the glory of God shine on their life. Hallelujah. When you make a commitment, when you make a commitment to give your life to the Lord, whoever is there to feed you the word of knowledge, you have to embrace that. You have to accept that. Hallelujah. What must I do to be saved? Men and brethren, they weren't trying to debate. They weren't arguing with one another. They knew that the experience that the saints of God experienced in the upper room, they wanted that same experience. Hallelujah. I know this ain't no popular message. Because we don't have time, and I'm not here to debate, and I'm not here to get into the Godhead and all this other stuff that keeps us divided. But this scripture here says, repent, Peter told them, and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus. Now let's go to 39. After you've done that and you received the gift of the Holy Ghost was promised to you, and then 39 says he give you another promise. Hallelujah. Jesus said, for the promise is unto you. But this is Peter talking, not Jesus. This is Peter talking. And Peter said, for the promise is unto you. Remember, he has been deputized. He has been authorized to say what he's saying. Jesus Christ himself authorized Peter, because he said, Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said, I'm giving you the keys. Ah, hallelujah. Whatever you bind in earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. Hallelujah. So God, Peter was authorized to talk about this. Hallelujah. And he said, for the promise, listen to this, people, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even your distant relatives, is for them, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Now, we're going to read down to 41, and we're going to skip on over. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly, listen to this, they that gladly received his word, were baptized. They were baptized because they gladly received the word. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How was the souls added? The souls were added because they were witnesses. They seen when they come out of the upper room. They knew that God had did something special for them. They heard them speaking in unknown tongues. Oh, people are trying to say the Holy Ghost it ain't needed. Oh, we on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Well, my Bible tell me the Holy Ghost. I'm reading out the King James Version. Hallelujah. And how do you know about that Holy Ghost? What is the evidence? The evidence is you have to speak in an unknown tongue. You have to speak in a tongue that's foreign to us. That's the evidence. That's to know that you got the real thing. That ain't no Flintstones, Holy Ghost. Abba, abba, abba. No, baby, it's a clear language. Hey, glory to God. Okay, and they said there was 3,000 added to the church. So let's move on now. But before I move down, oh, God, why are you kidding me this? Jesus, hallelujah, we got to talk about this, and then we're moving on. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Listen at that. The apostles' doctrine. not a man-made doctrine, the apostles' doctrine they continued in, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And listen to this, and fear came upon every soul. They wasn't afraid. That was the fear. There's different kinds of fear. This fear was a reverence. They reverenced and they worshiped and they honored God because they seen what was done. They seen the miraculous. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. They were together and they had all things in common. But listen at this. This is critical, people. Because we won't help nobody. It's all about Sister Adrian. All about my ministry and what I'm doing. And I'll never have nothing good to say about nobody else. I'm not never supportive of anybody else. Hallelujah. It's all about me. What my needs is, what I'm seeking the Lord for. But what about your brothers and your sisters in Christ? My Bible tells me to think on the things of others more highly than you do yourself. When you begin to take care of God's business, when you begin to bless God's people, hallelujah, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. God already see the seeds that we sowed, people. God already know that there's a harvest out there for us. If you sow some seed on some good ground, but many of us have sown seed on unproductive ground. We've sown seed on wicked and evil ground. We've sown seed on ground that will never produce. You know why it'll never produce? Because the Bible says you're cursed with a curse. How can a man rob God? You're cursed with a curse, so we don't even know the ground that we're sowing into. The Bible said, know them. Know them. And I don't have time to study your Bible to give you all the scriptures. But the Bible said, study to show thyself approved. And it also said, know them. Know them. Know them that labor among you. You have to know. You have to know those that is laboring among you. You got to know that those that you labor among. Hallelujah. Some of us laboring among thieves and robbers, cutthroats, murderers. Hallelujah. You can't be blessed in that kind of atmosphere. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. That don't mean separate yourself on Sundays. When you put on your holy clothes and your holy garment and you go and do your holy dance, but you done live like a hellion. You done live like a cutthroat all week long. Hey, and then you got nerve enough to come in God's house and try to interrupt his program, try to interrupt the worship service, because you contaminated and you want to come contaminate the whole choir, the whole praise team. The devil is a lie. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible got a watchman. He said, I have a watchman. Hallelujah. And the watchman has to be awake. The watchman has to be alert. The watchman has to be holy. God is telling us to be holy. We have to be holy. We have to live right. Hallelujah. And verse 45 says, 44 said, all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possession and goods and parted them. I don't know why the Lord is taking me back, though. I didn't mean to do but a little recap, but God is talking to somebody today. Somebody needs to hear this word today. And it said, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And every man had need. Listen to this, people. And they continued daily. What did they do? They believed in the apostles. They believed that Jesus had chosen some righteous, holy men. And these men and women of God, they went and they sold their possessions. They sold their houses. They sold their land. They sold their vehicles and any jewelry and any other treasures they had. They sold it and they came and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles did what was right in the sight of the Lord. They distributed it according to every man's need. How many of us are distributing what we have? How many of us are going out into the highways and the hedges? How many of us are giving anybody a piece of bread? Hallelujah. We're in our homes, and God done bless some of us, so we in here with 60-inch screens, and we have all kind of little gadgets, iPads and iPhones and all this other stuff. But let me tell you something, people. The Antichrist is already here. He already set, and the mark of the beast is in session right now. Can't you see it? Watch the time. The Bible says watch the time. You got to watch. You got to be watchful. Oh, I bless you today, Lord. And they continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness. Listen at this. That when they were able to eat, they were free in their spirit. They didn't have no junk in their heart. They didn't have no unforgiveness in their heart. They didn't have no jealousy and envy, Sister T. Evangelist Cummins. Ella Gates, they didn't have all of this. Evangelist Priscilla Dahl, they didn't have all of this junk. They had a clear heart. Their hearts was pure. And all they wanted to do is bask in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I bless you today. And he said they ate with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church again daily such as should be saved. You can't save nobody. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. You have to live. Holiness is a lifestyle, and it has to be lived. You can't preach it and not live it. If you do, you're gonna become a castaway. Hallelujah. And that's what some of us ought to do. Lord have mercy. But let's move on. We're going on to chapter 3 because guess what? The Lord told me, and I'm not one of these people that always profess the Lord said and God said it. No. Sometimes I say it. See, God give us a right to say some things too. Hey, hallelujah. But the Lord said, I want you to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. And I said, well, why, Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. My writings might slip. Hallelujah. I might lose some faithful callers and supporters. The Lord said, okay, well, let it be. It's on. He said, you're going to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. And I said, Lord, there's 28 chapters in this book. We'll be on this forever and a day. So be it. That's what he said. Now we're going to chapter 3, and I'm going to quit in about 10 minutes, and I'm going to open up the lines. And Ella Gates, I want you to come forth. Amen. First chapter 3, then some of what's in chapter 3 was already spoken in chapter 2. So we're going to skip through some of this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Listen at that. We're still talking about prayer. Those that's on this 21 day, we ain't on no Bedjan fast. You got folks calling, talking about they're on a Daniel fast, and they're calling it a Bedjan fast, and they're eating Bedjans all day long. Their stomach is full. How you going to fast with a full stomach? Let me move on away from that. Amen. And verse 2 saying, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. Now, this is not the alms to give. He was asking Peter and John to give to him. He was begging, amen, that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. In other words, the apostles were so illuminated. They were so anointed. When they came out that upper room, all you had to do for your healing is to look up on them. All you had to do for any need that you had, Peter said, is to look on us. How many of us got that kind of anointing today? How many of our friends and family can tell us to look upon them, and everything that we need, they have it. Come on, people. We ain't no Lord Jesus. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Peter said, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Look at this power. They couldn't have done that without power. They had even to receive the Holy Ghost. You have to have faith to believe. When I came in this thing almost 30 years ago, I had to, they were calling it tearing service, and you had to go to tearing service on Monday night, and you're tearing for the Holy Ghost. And I remember I went on back to New Orleans, and I got back in my mess, and I had to come back and apologize to my cousin, who was the pastor, the bishop. Hallelujah. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't understand. And that's what it is. This thing has to be taught. I didn't know what. I'm just seeing these folks talking in tongues, speaking in tongues. I didn't know it was power. I didn't know that was what I needed to live right. But I'll tell you, when I came back and went and had that talk with my pastor, hallelujah, he began to explain it to me. And that Monday, hallelujah, I fasted. And I say, I'm going to this church, and I'm going to get this gift, what they say is the Holy Ghost. I'm getting it tonight. And what happened was, I had a lady there that used to be over the caring service, and she had spoken some negative stuff in my spirit, and I wasn't able to receive it, because every time I went, I heard those negative words that had been downloaded in my spirit. Hallelujah. But this Monday, I didn't know it, but the Lord knew it. That Monday when I went, this woman wasn't there. I am no more shocked. And that was my day. That was my day to receive it. I didn't have to be down there tearing, or I didn't have to be down there thinking. No. The Bible said, repent, be baptized, and ye shall receive. All you have to do is have the faith to believe God's word. And once you say, Lord, I want this Holy Ghost, guess what? It'll fall on you, and you'll just start speaking. But that we were ignorant. We were ignorant, and some folks still making folks say, you ain't got to tarry for no Holy Ghost. Jesus told them to tarry and wait on the Comforter. He didn't tell them to get up there and say, thank you, Jesus, so it fell on them. He said, I'm going to send you back a Comforter. I'm sending it to you. And when I send it to you, all you got to do is receive the gift that I sent you. See, we're not receptive. We won't receive the gift. Oh, God, who are you talking to today? Hey, get on, Messiah. Hallelujah. But let's get on back. Peter said, children, go have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and listen to this, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, listen to this, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people reigned together unto them in the porch. That is called Solomon, greatly wondering. So they knew this man was lame from his mother's womb. And when they're seeing this man walking and leaping and praising God, hallelujah, they were all greatly wondering. And I'm sure they're saying, whatever that happened to this man, Lord, I need a miracle in my life today. If you can heal this lame man, you can take care of my problems. Hallelujah. You can heal my marriage. You can bring my wayward son back home. Hallelujah. You can bring my daughter. That some pimp that took and put on the street. You can bring her back, Lord God. You can restore, because God is a God of restoration. God will restore. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? Why are you looking at us strength, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. We don't have, it's not our holiness. It wasn't our power. When you lay hands on the sick, you have to have faith to believe that they're going to recover. But you have to be holy. You have to live right. If not, you'll be like apostles that couldn't call that lunatic spirit out of the young boy. Amen, amen. And he said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye, listen to this, ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That's how it is today. That's the world we're living in today. Hallelujah. We'll hook up with the discord soul. We'll hook up with the gainsayers and talk about the saints with them. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. We denying the Holy One. We denying our brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 15 says, and kill, listen, the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead. We killed Jesus, and we let the murderer live, whom God had raised from the dead. Well, we are witnesses, Peter said, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, and did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, listen to this, that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Repent ye therefore, Peter saying again, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing. These are the times of refreshing, people. Today you hear my voice. Today you hear my voice. Harden not your heart. Today is the day for you to be refreshed. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Jesus had already been preached unto him, whom the heaven must receive until the times of refreshing. And of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Hallelujah. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, listen what Moses said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's the true prophet unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, listen to this, every soul that won't hear Jesus Christ shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all thy kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, Jesus is the Son of God, sent him to bless you and turning away everyone from your iniquities. I have recapped. We have covered chapter 3. Tomorrow we'll be back on the line. I don't know how far we're going to go, but I know one thing. I can't get away until I'm released. I'm in this book of Acts until we are finished. Now, next week we're going to have some other speakers on the line. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me to do this week. And even tomorrow we might have a different speaker. We're going on into the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to begin to talk about Peter and John and how they were taken into custody amen, and we're going to talk about the prayers and the boldness of the apostles. But I want to open up the lines right now. I have about 8 callers on the line. Yeah, no more Shia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give the man of God, the man of God, Elder Gates, an opportunity to comment and say whatever the Lord has laid on his heart. Then I'm going on to Evangelist Cummins. I know she's in our shop and she's able to say anything. Then Evangelist Brucilla, and following her will be Sister T, and we'll go from there. I see Prophetess Callie on the line. We'll go to her also. Amen. God bless you, Elder Gates. God bless you. This is a young man, I tell you, and he is anointed. He's an anointed man of God. I thought he was way, I thought he was up in my age bracket. This is a young man. You know God is raising up a new breed of vessels that's going to really be sold out, that's going to really honor him, reverence him, and most of all, they're going to love the people. You know, I see some folks raising themselves up, and they don't care nothing about God's people. Some are making merchandise of them. Hallelujah, but God is raising up a new breed. A new breed. He said, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. He's raising up our sons and our daughters to prophesy. Our sons and our daughters that we have labored with and struggled with and have prayed for and have anointed, Sister Cummins, God going to raise them up. God going to raise them up, and they're going to preach and teach this gospel. And God is going to have us yet in the land of the living where we can see it. Amen, amen. Woo, these phones bother me today. Hallelujah, but I'm going to Ella Gates right now. I apologize. I'm at another place today. That's not my own. I don't have all these distractions. But anyway, when you at somebody else's place, you got to govern yourself accordingly. God bless you, Elder Gates.
God bless you. Excuse me. Certainly we thank God for the word that has been spoken and taught and ministered by. And I pray that the listeners were ministered to as you deliberated through the text. I think it's needful that one thing that people not read the Bible as just as if it's a historical document, as if it's something that was written about people that is not applicable to us right now. The thing that I have seen more often and is troubling at the same time is that when people pick up the Bible, they read about Peter, they read about John, they read about all these personalities of the Bible, and they leave it in the context of the fact that God only dealt with them, but as if God is not dealing with us now, as if what the Bible has had to say is not what God is saying right now. If the Bible is right and if God is true, then the saying is still relevant when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If this word is living, if this word is active, if this world is able to save us, as James said, that we ought to receive the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. If this world is as powerful as we say, if this word is as relevant as we proclaim it to be, then it is more than just a historical document. Paul said it like this. He said, these things were written aforetime for your learning, that ye through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I think it's vital that the people of God now understand, because we live in an age and a generation. And when I say an age or a generation, I don't mean just an age group. I just mean a cycle of life or a realm of or particularly a dynamic of thought and philosophy where people. What they do is they lean on entertainment. They lean on things that lack substance, that lack anything that is lasting. that lack anything that has ability to actually prove itself out. Because if all we seek is entertainment, if all we seek is who's the next, let me just dumb it down right here. Who is the next American Idol? Who is the next big preacher? Or who is the next this and who is the next that? If that's all we think, if that's all we're looking for, then you know we might as well just lay our books down and just give it all up, because there's not much more that can be seen in terms of what man is able to do, because eventually man always reaches his apex. Eventually man always reaches his end. And if we're ever going to be a people that strive for what God requires, for what honors him, then we have to press into what God has already set in place for us. And so now let's entertain what the evangelist was talking about today. You know, what is wrong? What is wrong with our doctrine in the church? What is wrong with our doctrine? What's wrong with our doctrine is, number one, nobody preaches Christ anymore. Everybody preaches about self-help. Everybody preaches about, you know, these ancillary things that really are just external, are things that don't pertain to eternal life. They only retain to life as it is right now, to the today, to the here and now. But if we are the people of God, we're looking not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are eternal. Our affections are supposed to be on what is above. And so if our gospel is not according to Jesus Christ, then we understand now why the Holy Ghost is not in operation. Because the Holy Ghost himself is the witness of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said was one of the Holy Ghost's primary ministries. He said when he comes, he will testify of me.
Yeah.
If Christ is not preached, this is the essence of what you were saying. This is the essence of what Peter did. He preached Christ on the day of Pentecost. When he preached Christ, the Holy Ghost came. When he preached Christ, there were souls that were saved. When he preached Christ, conviction fell. When he preached Christ, people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. When he preached Christ, people were baptized. When he preached Christ, he did not preach law. He did not preach, you know, all this other stuff. He preached Christ. And it is so necessary, and it's awesome to see the transition of how the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost is actually on your, when the Holy Ghost is actually on your, on what you say.
Yes,
it's not just what you say, it's what's on what you say. Because when the Holy Ghost is on what you say, look at how the transition happened. Because you're talking about the same people. Watch this. You're talking about the same. Let's just talk about the 12. Let's not talk about the 120. Let's talk about the 12. You're talking about the same 12 guys that were walking with Jesus that could not understand anything he said. They lacked understanding. They lacked the power to apply what he said. You spoke of how they were unable to cast out, you know, these they were unable to address certain situations. They couldn't cast out spirits. They didn't have power at certain times because at the time of the Acts of the Apostles, when the Holy Ghost came, now all of a sudden the transition happened. Now all of a sudden this fresh wind came. Now all of a sudden this sudden change and this impartation, thank you, Jesus, this impartation began to happen. And when the impartation came, now Peter stood up with boldness. And he began to preach a doctrine that at one time he could not understand, even though he confessed at one time that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He did not even understand at the time that he said it, that the Father had to reveal that to him. And then when the Father revealed it to him, when Jesus told him what happened, when Jesus had to tell him what happened, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit of God had to be the one to tell you who I am. Because here it is, the only way that we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is by the Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God.
And so when we start to look at, when we start to go further into this, into the Acts of the Apostles, notice how often they engage the gospel and the power of God shows up because the gospel is preached. Now, at the same time, let's be aware at the same time that at the same time there is great glory, there is also great persecution. Because not only did the apostles suffer, not only did the apostles experience the glory of God, but they also experienced the persecution that Jesus promised. He also said, "Now, when I'm gonna leave you here, but understand that this ain't gonna be no cakewalk. Understand that you're gonna testify about me, they're gonna kill you. Understand that you're gonna testify about me, they're gonna hate you. Understand you're gonna testify about me, they're gonna give you up like sheep for the slaughter. Understand if they did it to me, they're gonna do it to you. Understand, because what we're gonna start to see now is that not only are people willing to testify and see this great glory, but also you have to be willing, the price that you talked about paying, you also have to be willing to pay the price for that glory. Glory is persecution. The price for that glory is hatred. The price for that glory. Now we have to make the decision, as we will find out in the next chapter. Who will we rather please? Will we rather please God, or will we rather please man? Before I get too far off into it, let me just end it right there, because I don't want to get ahead of you, woman of God. And I just bless God for you, and I just thank God. And I just want to encourage somebody that's listening. Listen, understand that the power of the Holy Ghost is necessary. It is vital. It is something that is so, you cannot live without it. You have to understand that. You have to know that the power of the, and we talk about evidence. You might not understand the evidence. You might not understand speaking in tongues and all that other stuff. You might not understand it. But let me help you just in this elementary way. In order for you to understand that you have the Holy Ghost, you have to have some kind of evidence that he's there.
All right.
If there's no evidence he's there, then you don't actually know that you have it. Or you have him, or that actually he has you. You cannot speak. It's one thing to speak to somebody. It's another thing to speak for somebody.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost comes to give us power to speak for.
Amen.
Be encouraged. And I want to tell somebody that you need the Holy Ghost. We'll get more into it as the days and the weeks go by. But understand you need the Holy Ghost. You need it. You absolutely need it. It's more to your walk with God than just merely reading your Bible. It's more to it than that. It's more to it than just, you know, saying a prayer, you know, for 15 minutes. More to it than just, you know, we're stepping into the revelation of what God is giving us and what God has already separated and prepared for his people. Now, there are certain things that God gives to everybody, but there are certain things that God only gives to his people.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Ghost is one thing that God only gives to his people. Get back to you, woman of God.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. That was good. That was very, very good. I tell you, God is doing something. Just hang on in here. I'm going to Evangelist Cummins out of Los Angeles. Been knowing this woman of God long, long time. She's a part of my family. God bless you, Evangelist Cummins.
God bless you, and I've been in and out, but that which I've heard has been wonderful. I mean, wonderful. That I heard. Talking about this here is what we, like the brother was saying, this is what we got to have. This is what we got to have. We got to have that Holy Ghost. What's going to lead us? What's going to guide us? What's going to comfort us but that Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. I've been fired up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when you preach truth, and over there in the book of Acts, when you preach truth, they said they added daily those that should be saved. Because there was a common salvation, but it has to be taught in truth. We have to first repent, receive that word of God, receive that Holy Ghost, and then go out and teach and witness to others. You can't be a witness until you receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God for you, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. Praise God for you, and God gave you that, I know, because when I heard it, I've been very busy But let me tell you something. When I heard you talking on yesterday and some day before, I'm telling you, it just did something to my spirit. My spirit was a witness on the inside. I could feel the anointing of God because the word of God is true. And we need to teach and preach truth. And then God's going to add daily that those that should be saved. We got to quit all this other stuff. You know, all these other religions, they are on one accord. But we can't get the saints of God with these tongue-talking people to get on one accord for nothing. We need to put all our differences away and get on one accord so we can win souls that the God's house can be filled. Hallelujah. He's shut on the whole song. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless the Lord today. I don't want to take up no more time, but I'm just feeling it. I'm feeling it. Hallelujah. I'm feeling the anointing of that Holy Ghost. What we need, hallelujah, to take us on. Hallelujah. The apostles were chosen, and we were chosen. Hallelujah. Yes. Before the foundation of the earth, we were chosen. Hallelujah. To be a part of this family of God. We are family. We are blood sisters and brothers in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So our blood sisters and brothers that's listening, hallelujah, be encouraged. Witness. Teach. Preach. Hallelujah. For it's commanded unto you to do so. And the Lord say he say he'll save as many as he called. Hallelujah. Yes. Like you say, your relatives, your distant relatives, your grandchildren, all those that should be called, those that will hear God's word. Hallelujah. Bless you today. Bless all those that, hallelujah, they got the Holy Ghost and they're on fire. These are the last days. We ought to be on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We ought to be on fire for the Lord, and we ought to be obedient to our pastors and our the relatives, I mean, those that are in the church. We need to be obedient to our teachers. We need to go to Bible class so we can learn. You don't never get too much of God's word. You need that word. He said, my word is spirit and it's truth. You need God's word in order to receive that, fill up that the station of God's house so you can go out and teach and preach to others. You need to hear it so it can unite your spirit. Hallelujah. I'm fired up. You fired me up with this one. You fired me up with this one. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen, amen. You see, when you got the when the preaching is in you, you know it's just in you. Hallelujah. We got some preachers on this line. It's in my DNA. I try to teach, you know, and I try to be calm. And I'm just an animated person. I tell you, I was here at the conference with Dr. Burford, and I sweat all my hair out trying to preach and teach this. Trying to teach it really, but. You know, the preaching that's in me just comes up. You know, I don't mean no harm, but I tell you, some tasks, some assignments I'll say that the Lord give you, you know, you have to wrestle with it. And sometimes, let's just be real, sometimes we ain't in the spirit 90% of the time. Come on, we may be in the spirit 10 or 15%. The rest of it, we in this flesh. Let's just be real. And so sometimes you can wrestle a little bit. And you say, Lord, is this where you want to make the show? Is this God? And the only way you can know that, you got to spend some time with God. You just can't come to God no once a month. Once a week, nobody spend some time with God. I tell people when I get the time for people, I say the way you build your prayer life, you take a few minutes every day. You ain't got to take an hour. Just start giving 5 or 10 minutes a day. And every day you start doing that, I'm here, I'm a witness. Every day if you set aside 5 or 10 minutes a day to just commune with God, you start doing that, guess what? God will bring discipline into your life. And when you start doing it, you feel so good. And then, you know, the next day, you get excited because you say, I'm going to spend some time with the King. And every day you'll see how God will increase your prayer life. Find that private place. Find that quiet place, a place of solitude where there's no telephone, where there's no
precious. Ah, they say your secret closet. If you got a beard one, be a one. You can go up underneath the bed. Ah, if you ain't got no insects or nothing out and you ain't afraid, God will take care of you underneath that bed. And just get in that underneath that bed and close the door and tell him don't bother me. Ah, this is some private time that I need with my Lord and Savior. Don't call me. I'm not answering no phones. I don't care if it's my mama. Take a message. That's what I tell my grandchildren. Tell them to call. I'll call them later or I'll call them tomorrow. You guys, we have to be more sincere and more committed to our life with Christ. That's the only way we're going to grow. You hear people talking about fasting and praying? Fasting and prayer are twins. They go together. You can't do one without the other. You not want to fast and not pray. You have to pray to maintain your strength, to maintain that vitality. You have to do that, people of God. It is so necessary today. We need to set some time aside for the Lord. You know when you're asking God to do something for you, Sister T, you don't care who hears you. You don't care what they think about you. I'm seeking God. I need a breakthrough. I need deliverance. I don't care what I, when I go to church, I'm going to worship the Lord. I don't care what kind of shoes the sisters have on. I don't care what kind of hat they have on. Guess what? I'm coming in there to, I'm coming to worship my God. I ain't coming there to be no looking me. And I don't need nobody to pump me up. So guess what? When I go to the house of the Lord, I'm obeying God's commandments, and I'm going to get filled up. The sanctuary, the temple, that is the God said I was going to be. God said I'm going to call my house. My house shall be called the house of prayer. The house of prayer. So you ain't getting there to do all of this. Get that relief another day. This is God's time. And we have to make God's time. We have to make God's time the very, very first priority in our lives. God's time. And just don't go there because you got a need. Go there because you love God for who he is. Go and praise him for who he is. And if you begin to praise him for who he is, God already knows what they have need of. Okay, let's get real. It's time to get saved. It's time to be about God's business. Hallelujah. Let me go to Sister T and then Prophet Sally. Sister T, God bless you today.
God bless you too, Evangelist. God bless you. I thank God for that message that you brought today. What I got out of was the Lord is trying to, he wants us to look at ourselves. He really wants us to look at ourselves. That's why he has us in Acts right now. You know, and he's challenging us to live right and repent. He wants us to repent of all our sins. Looking at the titles of people, people are very much caught up in the titles. I've even noticed, even watching television, and they're on the Word Channel, and they're dancing, and they're rejoicing. It's supposed to be for the Lord, but I don't feel no, it's no power, like you said. We're not doing the worship that God wants us to do. You know, he wants us to get back to worshiping him and loving on him and not looking at self and not looking at who is elevated to this or to that. Or, you know, he just really wants us to get back to serving him. And he really wants us to look at ourselves so that we can do what he needs us to do. If we're just all the time just watching what other folks is doing and not trying to live like God wants us to live. He wants us to be able to study our word and to live holy. And it's so important that we live holy, you know, and put aside the plate and put aside the things that are not like God and give him his time. So I just thank God for this message. It's really just been helping me ever since I've been back on the line, and God is truly working miracles in my life. And I just thank God for the word of God that's coming from the woman of God. And let's pray my strength in the Lord. I thank you.
Amen. Well, we love you, Sister T. I have a certificate of appreciation
that I gave out last month to all of the listeners and callers that have come on this broadcast and have supported this work. And we have one for you, so call me. I'll get an address on you, and I'll send it out to you. But we're going to Prophetess Tally. I don't hear her last name. What is your last name, Prophetess?
Molden.
Molden?
Molden.
Molden. Okay, spell that for me.
How are you doing today, everybody?
God bless you.
I would like to say, because it really touched me, because I've been dealing with the postings and dealing with the people not loving one another, always doing something to stab somebody in the back. Do they not know that we are the salt of the earth? If we're not the salt, how can it be seasoned? How can we help somebody else? We got to have compassion for people. And that part really moved me. Am I my brother's keeper? Do we really have the moral obligations toward others? You know, we have to sit down and examine ourselves and what we're lacking. We have to ask God to build us up and fill us up so that we can love one another.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fast, we have to pray, we have to intercede for somebody else, because it's not about me. I'd rather pray for you or my brother, sister, somebody else, because I know that as long as I'm praying for you, that God is watching over me. We have to have a personal contact, as you said, and we must love Christ. And if you say you love Christ and you turn down your brother or sister who is hungry, or in the dark, how can you say you love Christ? We got to live it. We got to talk it. We got to confess it. We got to love people. We got to love the public. We got to look for the need where we are needed. It's not about what we need. It's about what others need to lead them to Christ. We can't save them, as it was said, but we must plant the seed, and we must communicate with people. When some people call and need prayer, some of the leaders are turning them down or don't want to be bothered with them. We gotta have some love and some compassion. Why can't we take five, 10 minutes of prayer? Why can't we concentrate on Christ? Why can't we must tag, you know? Must act.
Yes,
we must
Lord,
ask
yes,
wise
Lord.
Questions. We must be a person of discussion. When you don't know something, ask somebody else.
Yes, yes.
And what you learn, you teach it to somebody else. And be crystal clear to make a difference, not for yourself, but for Christ. Don't let your work down here be in vain just because you can preach a good sermon.
Hallelujah.
Don't let your work be in vain just because you can prophesy. Don't let your work be in vain just because you know T.D. Jakes or Juanita Bynum or Joyce Myers. But let your work speak for you that you know Christ. And just appreciate the thought, the small things. As I heard one of the prophets speak on another line. In our brokenness, we feel like we can't pray for other folks. But you got to pray for people in your brokenness, because that's where your deliverance comes from.
And if
we don't be supportive of one another, if I just stay on later than waiting, it's just for ladies and waiters. That's for myself.
Oh.
I'm going to do as I'm called to do. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit to go when God say go. Say what he says. And just walk when he say walk. And I just thank God the few times I've been on here with Prophetess Adrian. And I thank God because you know, even though I'm a first lady, it's still some things I can learn because I ain't always been saved.
All right.
And my flesh died daily. But I'm growing more and more. And I thank God for her, Evangelist Cotwell, Sister Thelma, Prophet Lahan. It's quite a few. And I thank God, Apostle Joshua. I just thank God that they're feeding me. And I'm feeding others.
All right.
And I just thank God. And I just thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank God.
We thank you for tuning in and sharing, fellowshipping with us on today, Prophetess Callie. God bless you. Look forward to meeting you in the near future. Amen. We also want to just give you some one or two announcements. We want to invite you to the Prayer, Faith, and Miracles Conference that Dr. Kennedy Burford is hosting here in the city of Stockton, California, and that'll be at 7 o'clock nightly. Tomorrow morning, they have a morning session. So come out and be a support to this man of God. He's a wonderful teacher and preacher. So the church is located at 2281 East Main Street. That's 2281 East Main Street. That's Christ Redeeming Center. Again, the pastor is Dr. Kenneth E. Burford. Amen. And also, we want you to come stay tuned for tomorrow. We're here at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also on Saturday, make a sacrifice. If you have a powerful testimony that you want to share with our listeners, tune in on Saturday morning at 5 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And a friend of mine, Minister Billy Burns, out of North Carolina, she hosts that segment called They Overcame. And also on Sunday mornings, we're on for 30 minutes of corporate prayer. And that's starting at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Amen. 30 minutes only of corporate prayer. So we thank God for you all today. I tell you, we're going to be walking through this book of Acts. And, hey, we're in it until the end. We're in it until the end. And the end is at chapter 28. So we thank God for each and every one of you all. Thank God for Evangelist Cummins, Sister T, Sister Callie. We also had Evangelist Lucilla on the line. And also Sister Dawn. Let me get Dawn and see if she can have a word. God bless you, Dawn. Dawn? Okay, maybe she's at work. I don't know. I'm not getting a response. But thank God for each and every one of you all tuning in with us on today. We're going to go to Elder Gates and have him to just give us a closing prayer. Really, I don't do any, you know, we're not a church, so we don't do an altar call. But we like to encourage the saints. We all know that everyone is in different areas of the nation. And we don't know your particular area, but we like to just encourage you on today to get busy for the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, guess what? You can tune in on this line every day. We have somebody preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's no excuse, and there won't be any excuses, because Jesus said, "Won't no man be able to accuse him of anything. He is a righteous judge." And this gospel will be preached to every nation. Man, woman, boy, or girl will have heard about this gospel. Oh, that great day of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to Elder Gates, and I don't know what his schedule is like, but he has an open invitation. I'm just being led right now that God wants him to speak, and I don't know what his schedule is like on tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. We're going on in to chapter 4 in the book of Acts. But I warn you all, he's never gave the word on this broadcast. So he has patience to expound upon the word of God for us, with us, and to us. Amen. So God bless you all, Dave.
God bless you. Excuse me.
And we thank God for the word. And so would you bow with me in a word of prayer just for a moment. Father, we do honor you. We do bless you. We thank you, O God, for this time of fellowship around your word. We thank you that you give us, God, the way in which, God, we can know you better, and that is through your word and through fellowship. We thank you, God, for the living word of God that comes forth by the spoken word. We thank you, God, for the vessels that you use, even this woman of God that has labored, God, in truth and in doctrine. We thank you, God, that you have given her the ability, God, to speak, God, the mysteries of God. And we pray that whoever, God, listens, God, whether they were listening right now or whether they listen to the archives, we pray, God, that something, God, would be ignited in the spirit of, by the Spirit of God, in the spirit of man, so that, God, whoever, God, will hear this word, God, will be challenged, God, to live for you in the way that will please you, in the name of Jesus. Whoever hears this word, God, will come to the realization, God, that they must get busy and do what you have called them to do, for the time is far spent and the day is at hand. God, we must acknowledge the fact that you are soon to come, and that you will require of every man the works that were done, God, in his body. And we pray, God, that you would, God, allow us, Lord, the opportunity, God, to finish the work that you have given us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I pray, God, that the furtherance of this gospel, God, will be preached, God, over this airway in the name of Jesus, God. And I pray, God, for illumination according, God, to the Acts of the Apostles as we go forward into this book and into this doctrine, into the Holy Writ. We pray, God, that you would give us illumination and understanding and revelation according thereto. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you, God. Bless now this woman of God as she labors. Bless now the conference, God, that is going on right now. Bless these women of God that gathered with us. Bless them, oh God. You know their individual needs, and God, you know, God, wherever we are in the individual places of our life, you know, God, how to minister to us. We ask you, God, to send ministering angels to us right now in the name of Jesus. Comfort us and keep us by the sovereign will of God. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Amen.
And thank you all. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you back on the air tomorrow. We're going to close out with I'm at Peace by Vicky Yoga. Have a beautiful day. Tell us about
away. I'm at peace. for peace.
Even though my heart is breaking, be shaken, oh Lord. And Lord, I remember the day, Lord, I remember the moment, Lord, you came and laid your hands on me. And now, oh, oh, oh Lord, you died for me on Calvary. And now I can see my storm has moved away. You came and laid your hands on me, and now I can see clearly now the rain is gone. You came and laid your hands on me, and now it'll be all over in the morning. You came and laid your hand on me, and now I can see my storm has moved away.
Bless you all. Have a Jesus day. Love
bless you,
with the love of God.